Yeah, it's my privilege today to be able to stand here and bring this scripture to you. So, good morning, church.
Good morning.
It's that we have quite a short New Testament passage today, and it's part of Paul's letter to the church at Philippi. It's only short, but there's a lot in it. So, Philippians chapter 4. Starting to read at verse 10. This is St. Paul speaking. I rejoiced greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. Amen. Oh, I better not go yet, had I? Because I'll take the whole thing. Drop my pen now.
There we go. It's okay. So some verses a little bit before that, because Paul, to this letter... to Christians in Philippi, verses chapter 4 again, verses 8 and 9. Just before that, he said this. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. This is Paul writing a letter to a church. Then he says, whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put this into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Paul says to this church in his letter, he says, as you've seen me, if you've heard from me, do as I do, imitate me. Now, ultimately, we are followers of Jesus, and our aim is to reflect and to imitate Jesus. Yeah? Not Paul. But Paul is a great human example of what it means to follow Jesus. Who was Paul? Well, he was a Pharisee. And his job was to persecute Christians. His job was to attack and to beat up and to kill and imprison Christians. But he had this dramatic experience on this road to Damascus. When he met Jesus through a shining light, he became a follower of Jesus. He became a great apostle, a missionary. And he wrote over half of the New Testament. Now, I know what some of you will be thinking. Haven't I heard this before? Well, yes, because that is exactly how I started my message last week. Some of you are like, you've not got that. So it's like, you've forgotten that already. I'm thinking about those watching on YouTube. They'll be like, they've just put last week's talk on. No, it is a different talk, but that is exactly how I started my message last week. And the reason for that is because what I'm trying to do is like a little three-week summer mini-series, all right? So it's like a little mini-series that I'm doing, looking at some of Paul's teachings. Well, I did it last time and this time, and then 2 weeks' time when I'll be speaking again. Last time, if you remember, last week, I looked at 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9, for those that were here. Said this, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, my power is made perfect in weakness, therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. Last week we talked about this situation that Paul seems to talk about of having a thorn in his side, something of discomfort, something that was obviously irritating him, that wasn't pleasant. We're not sure what it was, but he does ask God to take it away. In fact, he says to God three times, whatever this is, whether it's illness, or whether it's someone annoying him, or whether it was persecution, whatever it was, he says to God, would you take it away from me? Please take it away from me. Again, he says, take it away from me, God. But God doesn't take it away from him. What God says to him is, my grace is still sufficient for you. And we talked about that last week. And we talked about also how Paul boasted in Jesus. That was his thing. It was like, I don't want to boast about my football team. Did they have football teams then? Or my favourite chariot racer around the Colosseum of Rome. He wanted to boast about Jesus. And it said that he delighted in Jesus, even through the sufferings, even through the problems. His delight was in Jesus. What a challenge that might be for us as God's people. But this week, I've turned to Philippians 4, verses 11 to 14. I'll read just a little bit of that again. When Paul says, I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. And verse 14. Yet it was good for you to share in my troubles. So my question today is simply this. How content are you? How content do you feel at the moment with everything that's going on in life, around the world, with everything that's going on, and with everything that's probably going on around your lives? And some of that could be really great and celebrations and some good news, or it could be some real tough stuff going on. But the question is, how content are we at the moment? If you were to scale it from 1 to 10, 10 meaning, oh, I'm totally content. Oh, I'm good at that. Or 1 is, well, I'm well away from it. Wonder where you are. I'm not going to do a poll. But you can just think about that at the moment, where you are in the kind of content scale of your life at the moment. Paul says that he has learned the secret of being content. What I think this tells me is that for Paul, it was part of a process. It was part of Paul's journey. It's not something that just happened to him overnight. It was something that he had to acquire over time. He learnt it over a period, over time. But you see, we live very much in an instant society, don't we? How many of those Amazon vans to come onto your street every day? Next day delivery, come on. You know, we live in that very instant, everything now, don't we? Oh, you're laughing. Is it a lot good? Are you a big Amazon? You could just see. I'm not trying to put you to shame there. There's nothing wrong with Amazon vans coming onto your street. Unless you're the cause of them. Is that you? That's you. But we live in this very next day, next thing. Want it now. And yet my experience in the Christian faith is that things often take time. In Galatians 5, we read about something called the fruits of the Spirit. Things that are meant to grow in us as God's people, as God's Spirit lives and dwells in us, and then we carry on. But you see, fruit generally grows slowly. Fruit grows slowly over time. For me, you know, it's not when you become a Christian and now it's like, oh, I'm suddenly so patient in every situation. I'm in driving the car. Come on, you come in front of me. He's cut in front of me. Don't worry. I can sit in this queue as long as I need to. Or you think, now I'm a Christian. I have this amazing self-control. I never do anything wrong. I'm never tempted to follow that when I know it's wrong. I'm just so self-controlled because that fruit has just... bang, it's there. Oh, I'm totally at peace. Oh, I'm so peaceful. I always have this wonderful inner joy every moment of the day. Generally, it doesn't just happen like that. These are things that I believe can grow in us as Christians, but it grows over time. Often I find in the Christian life, it's not instant. There's a journey. Paul's learned this. He's journeyed into contentment. When I was thinking about things like contentment and other things like the fruits of the Spirit, I was thinking about these four words, all beginning with the letter P. That's cool. The first one is pursue. I think we've got to ask ourselves, what do we want as a Christian? Do we want things like joy in our life and contentment and God's peace? If we want those sort of things, then we need to pursue them. They don't just snap in. We pursue them. The second thing we need to do is have patience. And I mean, patience is a fruit of the Spirit, but we need to try and have patience. What I mean by that, we need to understand that these things will happen over time. We need to that time to let them grow in us and develop in us. Then we need to have perseverance because we need to keep going. We need to keep pursuing, not stop pursuing. And there's a danger in that because I think sometimes we think, I want more of this, I want more of this. But if it doesn't happen like that, if it's not like the Amazon delivery driver next day, I'm not bothered anymore. I'm not going to. But we need to pursue and we need to be patient, but we need to persevere. Keep going to get those things from God. And we need to practice. We often learn by doing. We need to learn by trying to put them into practice. Do we want those things from God? Like the fruits of the Spirit and like this, as we're talking about today, this gift, I think, of contentment. I do feel I'm very much on a journey towards having more of what Paul has learned, being content in my life. I am far not there. I'm on that journey. I'm learning. And I'm praying that God would grow it more in me. What is this contentment then? What is contentment? Let's just take a moment to think about that. The dictionary says contentment is a state of happiness and satisfaction where you feel at peace with your life, you accept your current situation and appreciate what you have right now. A state of happiness and satisfaction where you feel at peace with your life, you accept your current situation and you appreciate what you have right now. When I started to think about the word contentment, I wrote words down like security, joy, confidence, certainty, settled, hope, peace, consistent, inner calmness. I think all those things are around this word contentment. You know, today we live in a time of great advancement. In areas such as technology and healthcare and all kinds of things, which you would think is meant to improve our lives. Yet statistics show us that there is far more stress and anxiety around in today's society than probably ever before. In some ways that doesn't make sense because those two things are meant to be opposite from one another. The fact that we've got all these advancements to make our life easier and better, all this technology and all this kind of care that we've got and all these different things. So you think that must make our life better. So we must be less stressed and less worry around. But that's not what it tells us. Actually, it tells us the complete opposite to that. And you wonder in the end, actually, if there's a connection between all this advancement and the fact that there's more stress and worry and anxiety around than ever before. I think contentment feels harder to obtain than ever in our society today. It is not an easy thing to obtain. And yet Paul says he has learned to be content in all circumstances, in all areas of his life. Paul writes about it, says that, and he says that I've experienced both sides. He says, I know what it is to be in need, but I also know what it is to have plenty. He's experienced all that life brings, different sides of life. But we said in Philippians 4 that Paul says he's encouraging us to follow his example and an example as a follower of Jesus. So here the Paul's challenge is not just to try and learn and find contentment, but to find it in all the areas and circumstances of our lives. And you think, okay. Now we probably would say it's easier to find contentment when things are going well. When the sun's shining. When your football team's winning. When all the bills are paid. When we're healthy. When our relationships and circumstances are in a positive place. You think, well, the kind of the census would be that it's probably easier to be content when we're, that's kind of our, what's going on around us. But we also know that life often isn't like that. And I've said a number of times before that I don't believe that it's just that or the opposite of that. What I mean is, generally, I find in most people's life, it's not just all is going well or suddenly all is not going well. I think I don't feel life is like these two opposites. I think generally, I've said it many times before, it's like these two train tracks running alongside each other, one which has things on that are going well and one that things are not going well, and they run alongside each other. Most people in their lives, I think a lot of the time, will have things that they can say, I'm thankful for that, that's going well, it's doing okay here, but this is really tough and I'm struggling with this. And what they do is they jump between these train tracks many times a day sometimes. Sometimes they'll spend a lot longer on one of the tracks than another. But it's not just suddenly all is going well or all is going bad. It's not two categories. The chances are within this room today, most of us will be carrying some stuff which is good, but we'll also be carrying stuff that's difficult. They kind of run alongside each other. And what I feel about when I hear Paul, I think, wow, he has discovered something very precious here. He has said, hey, he's learned to be content whatever's going on, in all circumstances. And do you know where he's writing these words from? He's in prison as he writes these words to this church. He's in prison saying, I have learned to be content in all my situations. Even in that place, because that would be, thinking, hang on a minute, that's the place where you wouldn't be, surely. But no, he's saying, even in this place, in all circumstances, and I know what it is to do well, and I know what it is to have tough stuff going on, but I have learned to be content. What a gift he has got here. We talked about it last week and the challenge of it last week because he said in that 2 Corinthians 12 verse, and he said, my grace is sufficient in you. My power is made perfect in your weakness. And then he says, therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. That's why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insult, in hardship, in persecution, in difficulties. For when I am weak, I am strong. I just think Paul has found something here. He has learned something here. He has journeyed through something here to have something very precious. To find this sense of contentment in the different places and circumstances and things around his life. So where does this true contentment come from? In some ways, that's probably the most important question. Well, I don't think it comes from this world. I don't think true contentment comes from things and possessions. Yes, I think those things, possessions, all that kind of stuff can bring to a level some part of contentment. For example, if we have money, we have less worry when the bill hits the doormat. So the fact if you've got money, then you're not stressed about trying to, where's your next meal going to come from, or where if suddenly my electricity bill comes and I think, oh, if you've got money, then you think, okay, I'm all right, I can pay that, and I'm not too worried. So there is a sense that things of the world can bring an element of contentment, but I think most people would know that the things in this world are not very reliable and they're definitely not a solid foundation on which we can build our lives. Things go wrong. People go wrong. Situations change. You know, even in an instant. You just think about the devastation of those fires. You know, those people that have just lived in those lovely places thinking, oh, aren't we, you know, everything's beautiful here. We've got our lovely house in a lovely place. And suddenly this fire comes in. And they have to evacuate. And then they go back and there's just devastation. The house has gone. Everything that they've worked for, everything that they've owned, just gone. The things of this world are not solid, not reliable. I do think we can find contentment, or I do think contentment can often grow in us through things like thanksgiving, through things like generosity, through things like faithfulness. I think if we put those things into practice, if you can be generous and thankful and faithful and those sort of things, I think that can grow a sense of contentment in people. But you know what? In our reading, Paul says that he had found the secret. He says, I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. But I think he doesn't keep it a secret very long. Because just a couple of verses later, Paul says this: I can do all this through him who gives me strength. He says, I found the secret. But he's not like, not going to tell you. I'm happy with it. I found it. Ha, ha, ha. And we sometimes like that, don't we? I've got something you haven't. Makes me feel better about myself. Paul's not like that. He says, I found this secret. I found the secret of being content. But he doesn't keep it to himself. Just one verse later, he says, I can do all things through him, Jesus, who gives me strength. The secret of Paul's contentment is not found in things, but it's found in a person. And his name is Jesus. Paul has learned through his experience, all his experiences, over time, through all that he had been through, that his contentment is found in Jesus, who gives him strength. In every situation, in all situations, in all things, in all circumstances, with all people, in all life's joys and trials. That's the secret. Even have to whisper it, want to shout it out. Paul is saying that Jesus is his satisfaction, that Jesus is his happiness, that Jesus is his security, that Jesus is his joy, that Jesus is his confidence, that Jesus is his certainty, that Jesus is his hope, that Jesus is his peace, that Jesus is his consistent, that Jesus is his calm. It's all found in Jesus, his Lord, his Saviour, and his friend. It's about where we belong, and more importantly, who we belong to. That's what he's learned. And you look at the life of Paul and all that he's been through, and he's been through all kinds of stuff. Some amazing, he has amazing testimonies of God at work in him and through him in the different places that he's been, and how God has used him to start churches. And oh, I've got some amazing testimonies. But I tell you what, he's got some really tough stuff that he had to go through. Persecution and imprisonment, all kinds of stuff. But he says, I've learned over it all, all that I've gone through, the trials and the joys, that it's all, my contentment is in Jesus Christ, my Saviour, my friend. It's not in money. It's not in objects, relationship, other relationships. It's in Christ and Christ alone. You know, just to finish with a couple of examples of, contentment in Jesus finders. That's what I wrote on my notes. A couple of examples of contentment in Jesus finders. And they're connected to two of the songs that we're going to sing. One we have and one we're going to sing. The first one is, because in a minute we're going to sing, It Is Well With My Soul. A lot of us will know the story behind that song. I'm not going to go into the full story. It was written by a guy called Horatio Spafford back in the 18th century, a long time ago. But the story behind that song is just so challenging. This guy who sent his wife and his children ahead of him to cross the waters from America to England, and they went ahead of him on the boat, and the boat sank. And he lost all his children. His wife survived. She sent him a text. She didn't send him a text. She didn't send him a text, did she? She sent him a telegram. Same thing, just a different era. She sent him a telegram that just said, survived alone. But then he travelled to be with his wife. He travelled that journey on a ship, travelled it back to the UK. But as he hit the spot, as he passed the spot where that the ship had sunk with his children on, and he'd lost his children to the sea, he wrote those words, "It is well with my soul." Wow. He knew something of the gift that Paul spoke about today. And the second one is the song that we just sang, Blessed Be Your Name, written by Matt and Beth Redmond. And there's different things about that song. But the story goes that it was partly written through their own experience. Their own experience of actually Beth having several miscarriages. And through these different experiences, they wrote these words. Blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful, where the streams of abundance flow, blessed be your name. But blessed be your name when I'm found in the desert place, though I walk through the wilderness, blessed be your name. Blessed be your name when the sun is shining down on me, when the world is all that it should be, blessed be your name. Blessed be your name on the road marked with suffering, though there's pain in the offering, blessed be your name. And he uses some words from Job 1, verses 21. You give and take away. You give, you take away. My heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name. Wow. You know, as I finish, I even like verse 14. If you read verse 14 there, it just said this. Paul says right at the end of this conversation or this letter and bit, he says this, yet it was good for you to share in my troubles. I like that because I think Paul acknowledges and he appreciates the support that he's had from God's people, the church. And I feel that this for Paul, and it can be for us if we get it right, this can also be an important part of journeying towards contentment and helping each other find contentment in Jesus through the different situations that life can bring in. So the dictionary says, contentment is a state of happiness and satisfaction where we feel at peace in our lives, we accept our current situation, and we appreciate what we have right now. I wonder how we're going. It's easy for me to read those words, not always easy to say. But how can we learn to be more like Paul? Paul, who also said in Philippians 4, do not be anxious about anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. He knew something about this contentment, didn't he? And I pray that today, as we continue to think about the words of Paul, a follower of Jesus, that's all, just like you and me, flesh and blood, normal people, but he has learned over his time to be able to say those words as I stand in whatever situation it was, and he was sat in prison on this occasion. You know what? I've learned to be content in every situation. It was a secret, but I'm going to tell you why. It's because it's in Jesus Christ that I found it. He's my strength. He's my Lord and my Savior. In him, there is contentment. I pray that we can continue our journey to discover that more in our lives, yeah? Amen. Amen. As we prepare to take communion today, we're going to sing that song. It is well with my soul. We're going to share in communion as a response today. We always do it on the first Sunday of the month. Before we do, I once heard a sermon from Mark 4 on the time when Jesus calmed the storm. And I found it really challenging because he started off, some of you know the story, the disciples and Jesus were in a boat, they're going across the lake, but there's a massive storm, and Jesus is asleep, and the disciples are terrified, they're really scared, and they wake Jesus up, and Jesus stands up and he commands the waves and the wind, which is awesome in itself, but then he kind of has a go at his disciples, and he says to them, what are you doing? What are you worried about? Where's your faith? And the guy who preached the sermon said, the reason for that is because at the beginning of that verses, he says, the day that when evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, let's go over to the other side. And that's the verse that he spoke about. And he said, why? It's a bit mean to say to the disciples, you know, why are you scared when there's a massive storm? Why are you scared when we're in a boat and the waves are crashing in? Why, you know, you should have had more faith or whatever it might be. He's saying to him, but the reason he was having to go through is because Jesus has said that we were going over to the other side. He said it. So they could have confidence. They should know if Jesus says it, it's going to happen. It's true. And he kind of spoke a lot better than I'm speaking about it now, about that sense of having the confidence in the words of our Saviour, and that we can have the confidence in Jesus. And, you know, that's what spoke out to me, that even in all that's going on around, that we can grab hold of the words of Jesus and have a confidence in them that holds us steadfast. I understand that is easier said than done sometimes, and I am not an expert at it. But I think that's where we're aiming towards. That's where we're travelling towards. That we can hold on to the words of Jesus through what all the circumstances and wherever we might be facing. Because he doesn't break his promises. He's true. He's steadfast. And many of us can testify to that over many, many years. That's why he was asleep. That's why the disciples could have trusted him. Because he said, we're going over to the other side. And if Jesus said, we're going over to the other side, they're going over to the other side. And the waves and the wind are not going to stop them. We're going to take communion. Communion is something that we do in this church on the first Sunday of the month. Many churches take communion. And what we do is we share in this little act of taking a little bit of bread and a little bit of juice. The juice is it's like a black currant, I think. It's not alcoholic. But it is juice. It's red. And it cuts the body. The bread is to signify the body of Christ, and the cup is to represent the blood of Christ, because when he met with his disciples just before he went to the cross, they shared a meal like this with them. And he said these words: while they were eating, Jesus took the bread and he gave thanks and he broke it and he gave it to his disciples, saying, take and eat, this is my body. Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and offered it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you, this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now until the day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom. And it's just in that upper room before Jesus went to the cross, knowing that the cross was before him, in knowing that his body would be broken, knowing that blood would be shed as a sacrifice for our sins, Jesus had this meal and he used these items to sort of say, look, in the future, if it's going to help you, just to remember what I am going to do for you, what I have done for you, why I did it for you, because I love you and because I am there for you. You know, Jesus is the one who wants to be for us, who is totally for us, not against us. And Paul found that, and we need to find that, find our confidence, our security in Christ. So as we come forward partly through in confession. So we acknowledge that it's often a time when we come before God and we might need to sort of say sorry, which we probably do need to say sorry, for the things that we've done wrong, thoughts, words, deeds. We need to repent. That means turn away from those things. Say, I don't want to be, I'm not just saying sorry casually and I'm going to do them again when I walk out of this building. I'm going to try and live for you, Christ, from this place. And as I say sorry, receive his forgiveness. And then just have that sense of recommitting ourselves to the purposes of Christ in our lives. It's an open invitation. So we say to you, come forward at your own space if you want to. So you don't need to rush. There'll be some music on. You can come and you can stand here and you can just take the bread and the drink slowly here. Or you can take it back to your seat and you can take it. You can take it. You can give it to one another as a way of blessing one another if you want to. There's no rush. It's your response to Jesus today. What do you want to say to Jesus? What's Jesus saying to you? How are you going to respond to him today in this place? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord, we take a moment just to be still before you. As we have heard, as we sung your songs that tell us your truths, as we have heard your word spoken to us, as we've tried to grasp a little bit more of what it means to follow you through your disciple Paul, Lord, we pray that as we come forward today that we would have our own response. Lord, we come firstly recognizing our own need of you, our sin. We know that there are things that I've done and not done that go against your plan for us, go against your will for us, our Heavenly Father. And we need to recognize that. We need to say sorry for those things. But not just sorry. The idea is that we repent, we turn away from them. because we know that that's not your best for us, and we turn towards you and the best that you have for us. That's not always easy. Just for a moment, we take a moment for God to speak into that area. Not to condemn us, because he loves us. But sometimes we all need a bit of correction to help us to get the best. And then God, I pray that as we come forward, as we use those four words earlier on, God, that we would pursue the things of you in our lives. Fruits of the Spirit, contentment. Oh God, that we would persevere, that we would practice them, that we would call upon your Spirit to fill us more, that we would be more like Jesus in our lives. Grow, may the things of you grow a little bit more in us today as we respond to your name. Amen. So there'll be a little bit of music as you feel, come forward as you'd like to. And once we feel everybody's had the opportunity to come forward, please again, just, you know, don't try not to have chats about things. It's not like, oh, I've taken it now, I'll have a little chat with you about something, or have you got any sweets in your bag anymore? It's not, let's use the space just to be with God, just for these next 5 or 10 minutes in his presence. Let's not, because you might want to chat, but actually your chatting might distract somebody else who wants to just be still. So just enjoy God as we listen to the music, sing if you want to, come forward and take communion, and let's respond today. Okay?